Blog Talk Radio.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is indeed his messenger, and I further bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder and comforter and guide in these trying and difficult times. And it is my distinct honor to greet all of you in our nation's greeting words of peace. We say it in the Arabic language, As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
Thank you. Thank you, brothers. And let me first say that, of course, those of you who are regular listeners, you know that this is Brother Jamil's show that he hosts on Sunday afternoon, and Brother Jamil is otherwise occupied attending to his mother in Atlanta, and so he told me that the show must go on, and there were all these kind of events that occurred, and while I was in the process of searching for a topic to do on his behalf, Allah brought it to me, in regardless to how grim it may be. Allah put it in my spirit, and I've been working diligently all day to put this program together. And it is vitally important. And I have a host of a panelist of brothers that I have charged up or employed to join me tonight. And we are looking forward to the arrival of Student Minister Tony Muhammad out of Los Angeles, our Western Regional Representative for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, to join us here shortly. And those of you who have, of course, read the advertisements and promos for this show, you already know that we're talking about our black and missing children. And this subject came to me because as I was talking to a dear brother of mine in Florida on yesterday, he had picked up a friend of his who had just gotten the news that a 9-year-old girl by the name of Felicia had come up missing on yesterday afternoon from an apartment complex courtyard. And unfortunately, her body was found this morning washed up ashore on the Causeway Beach down in Tampa, Florida. I don't have all of the details, of course, the cause of death, but, of course, she was completely nude, so we kind of, you know, we kind of know what happens with that. And so I just, you know, I just put it in my spirit that it was vitally important that we get the men in particularly involved in the cases of our missing children. And I want to share something with all of you before we introduce our panelists. A lot of people get their reports locally from law enforcement, Texas Highway Patrol, or your patrols in whatever state you're in, and those numbers are not accurate. The process of when you report a child missing, whether it's a runaway or whether you think it's a kidnapping, whether it's a family abduction or whatever it is, it goes to the Department of Justice. So the numbers that you may hear are more than likely the local numbers in your region or in your area. But let me give you the realistic numbers. In 2012, 1,315,600 children were reported missing. I'm going to give you that number one more time. 1,315,600 children were reported missing in 2012. Now, that's runaways and those who have been found and, you know, those that weren't really missing and whatever. But those are the reports that were legally filed in, you know, in any jurisdiction of law enforcement across the nation. And this is just in the United States. Now, in 2013, 797,500 children are missing, still missing, from the 1,315,600. 797,500 are still missing in the United States. How many of those are black children? Anywhere from 9.2 to 13.5%, depending on how you categorize their race. In other words, if you want to count the biracial children who may have white mothers and they consider themselves white, then you want to count 13.5%. If you want to talk about those who consider them black, you want to look at 9.2%. But that's still a lot of children. And we all know the game. You know, we all know that when our children come up missing, only the blonde-haired, blue-eyed children get the attention. And there's little to no media attention on our children unless we in the community actually bring it to the forefront, bring it to their attention. So we have a responsibility here, and I am charging the men with this responsibility, because it's not only young black girls, but there are grown women that are missing. And I share with you, Brother Kim, I'm going to let you come on down front and center, sir. Just go ahead, introduce yourself right quick. Tell us a little bit something about yourself, and thank you, dear brother, for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome, ma'am. My name is Brother Kim Muhammad. I'm out of Las Vegas, Nevada. I work for the Juvenile Justice Department in the aspect of with our program called MTI. And MTI is Manhood Training Initiative. A lot of those statistics that our sister just have given us, they are accurate statistics when you talk about the children. The program that we have down here, it deals with children. And, you know, what she is saying about holding men accountable, we have to be held accountable, because if not, then we won't step up to the plate. You know, a lot of times we want to put the responsibility off on our leaders and not assume the responsibility as individuals. And this is what we are trying to curb in our city. I mean, I don't know how many people know, but we have that type of epidemic right here in the city of Las Vegas with prostitution with our young black girls. And we have a lot of them come up missing due to the fact that they slip in between the cracks of statistics when it comes to information that is given by law enforcement. So our job here in the city, and my job, is to make sure that we help our young people stay out of them conditions and stay away from them circumstances by teaching and training them life skills, social skills, how to conduct themselves as civilized people. And this is my responsibility here as being a mentor, an educator, and also an advocate for speaking out against injustice within our community. So that's a little bit about myself. And as we go further on in the program, I'll give some statistics and numbers, because there's an old saying that goes, men lie, women lie, but numbers don't lie. And these numbers that we have concerning our black children, they are startling, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, that's it for me.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Kim. And we have, who just joined us, Student Minister Tony Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Wa alaikum salam. How are you?
I see better days, but I'm blessed by Allah's grace anyway. Thank you for asking, and yourself,
yes,
Brother Tony.
Oh, all praises due to Allah. I'm doing fine and well, thanking Allah for life. It's been a long day of teaching at the mosque and meeting and, you know, and trying to serve our community, and now on this call. So it's an honor, again, dear Sister Aziza, to be with you and the listening audience that are listening to us, and to catch
yes,
the tail
sir.
End, you know, and was blessed to catch the tail end of my brother in Las Vegas with the wonderful program and things that they're doing on the ground in the Vegas area to enlighten and teach our people is just wonderful. That was good news to my ears, just hearing the wonderful work that's being done there, and I'm sure in many other cities across America where the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is in full effect. So it's an honor to be on again.
Yes, sir, and it's an honor to have you here, Brother Tony. Now, I don't know if you're going to be able to stay for the entire duration of the show, but I want to go ahead and introduce Brother Efron Cherry from New York. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Efron.
Wa alaikum assalam. I appreciate it from everyone that's out there. As everyone know me, my name is Efron, and they call me the street educator. I've been as active as I possibly can, giving all praise to whatever help that I have to, you know, strongly do the best I can to make them conscious as I can. So on a regular basis, that's exactly what I do as a community active, as a speaker. My job is to be able to enlighten and to make us more humanly responsible for what we do the best that I can before it's my time to leave. So you hear me, sister, you know, brothers, you know that's exactly what I do. That's my life.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Efron. And Efron is from New York, and we got Brother Kim in Las Vegas, and, of course, Minister Tony is in Los Angeles, and I'm down here in Texas. And Brother Tony, I shared with you this morning about the missing girl that came up. You know, she ended up being deceased this morning, 9 years old. Her name is Felicia in Florida. And we have so many stories like that. So many stories. Too many stories like that. And oftentimes I think that, number one, we don't really pay attention until it's in our community. And number two, I don't think that we take the responsibility that is required to look after our children. And when it gets to this point, when it gets to the stage that Felicia is in now, it's too late. It's too late to be concerned. It's too late to care at this point because she's gone. And I want to ask you, as a man, as a husband, as a father, what can the men who are charged with maintaining the women, what can they do better? And we're going to talk about what the women can do better as well. But police in our communities, what can they do better?
Thank you for your question, dear sister. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger. Certainly thanking Allah for raising in our midst the most honorable Elijah Muhammad and now having divine guidance through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Dear sister, I just want to remind all of us who are blessed to have been able to hear the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan teach us, you know, and whenever something happened, whatever is happening, I don't care where it is, you know, nothing is ever too late, you know, and whatever happens, happens either out of Allah's permissive will or his active will. And when these kinds of atrocities happen, our dear little sister Felicia, you know, that we were not able to help or save, but the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has said to us, when Allah allows the innocent life to be taken in such a way, then that life should give life to something that's been dead. And I believe that her precious life that was taken will give life to something, as the precious lives of many black girls. We're just hearing about Felicia. I was in a meeting yesterday with the FBI, the CIA, and Homeland Security, had a big conference on sex trafficking here in California, where every day at least 20 girls averaging age 12 to 13 are being snatched and gone.
Yes, sir.
So it's an epidemic, dear sister, you know, and, you know, Allah is going to cause life to come into these dry bones. And, I mean, you know, with the best that we can do, many of us, you know, we have a lot that's on. This devil is hitting us with a lot. He's hitting us with hunger. He's hitting us with homelessness. He's hitting us with bills, loss of life. But I would say to the community and to black men anywhere, we just have to walk our post better, you know, and walk it more in a perfect manner, doing the best we can to stay alerted that in our community, you know, our community suffer because the alpha male, and the fatherless home syndrome is rampant in our community. So we have to do the best we can by being vigilant. And this is why the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has honored the mosque to come out of our homes at least an hour a day. Many of us should just be in the streets looking after our baby, looking after our girls. And I want to say to you, dear sister, that it was reported to us by the FBI and the CIA. When I heard this figure, I knew that what's happening with our girls and our women is higher than we could ever imagine. When they reported that $64 billion are being made a year in America alone.
Yes, sir.
Off sex trafficking. And that lets you know then this is happening with that kind of money being made. There's a money machine behind that. There are various communities, I don't care, and who are making the money in the entire sex world. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan exposed to us and showed us that even the Jews control child pornography.
Yes, sir.
So
yes, sir.
Who's increasing the appetite for our little girls to be snatched off the street? And we're learning that our children are being sold to these European sex traffickers, where black girls are being sold out of the country for at least $10,000 to $16,000 apiece. They're being transported out of the country. They're being drugged. They're being put on psychotropic drugs, and pain is being enforced on them, and they're now under command phrases. So this crap is high. This is in high, high places. And so what I said, and I love what's happening after I talked to Brother James and the brothers in Tampa from the little girl, the FOI will be going to the homes of the family and in the areas where some of these girls are missing in Tampa. You know, the brothers in L.A., we're taking to the streets. We're doing the best we can. Girls are being snatched from bus stops now.
Yes, sir.
So the brothers are patrolling certain bus stop areas. So when the girls get out of school, we're standing at the bus stop with our Final Call newspaper, with our bean pie, walking our posts in a perfect manner, keeping always on the alert, watching for anybody that ain't right.
That's
so
right.
We have to have little patrols, you know. The church got to do better. We are not going to meet with the clergy. We're going to meet with other activists, meet with the Panthers, meet with the NAACP, have meetings and alert, sound the alarm.
Yes, sir.
You know, so every city needs to start sounding the alarm. We need to start having press conferences, you know. We need to come together, dear sister. And so all I could say is, I pray to Allah that we can bring some comfort, because we can't bring the little sister Felicia back and others who are losing their lives, you know, and it's unaware. You know, the scripture says, while men slept, someone came in and sowed tare among the wheat. So you are absolutely right. Men, the entire community, have to wake up, you know. We have to wake them up through inspiration. We can't beat them down because they're not up. We got to wake them up through divine inspiration.
Yes,
and sound the alarm. And I'm telling you, I think we're going to see something come up out of Tampa and out of the various places, because on your radio show Friday, the calls are coming in already on the report of the community. It's like, wow. They're waking up that something is happening to our girls and our women, thanks to your show and other shows like your show. I believe it's already beginning, dear sister. And I think in a week or two, we're going to be getting some great reports on men that are doing something across this country, with the hope that I can get a report to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and pray that he can help to call for a national press conference. And he
can give
a national report on CNN, CBS, and the major media outlets, to Steve Harvey show that's all over the country, where they can begin to start talking about this on their show. So thank you.
Yes,
and I think right there, that little bit will help. And the women, we got to stand out on our porch. We got to, when we see our girls out playing, we got to have more people. When the school is out,
we driving our cars, if we see girls, we got to stop and watch and make sure they get to where they're going. We got to be the alert. Everybody, we got to have our cell phone ready, on ready, set, go. We got to be the journalist today. We have to be the reporters. When a man grab a girl, we got to have the phone on him. And, sir, and who are you grabbing this girl? What is your name?
That's right.
Oh, I'm her father. Well, I don't know. I just wanted to get a picture of you and her just in case you ain't her father. You see? There's millions of cell phones, and we got to just turn them on and put them on everybody just in case.
Sir.
So it's that kind of alarm. So our babies, y'all, who are listening, black girls are under attack like we've never seen before. They are being sold through sex trafficking at 12 and 13 years old. The average sister that's walking the street in L.A. is 14 years old. Any grown man that's having sex with her, that's statutory rape, but they're not being charged with it.
That's right. That's
so
right.
So we, particularly the spirit, the salt of the earth, are the members of the Nation of Islam and the church members who dare to stand up for Christ, man. So we got to come out of our hiding places, dear sister. And I'm so, your show has done something from Friday because I've been getting the calls from the various cities who now realize that something is happening to our girls.
Yes, sir. And Brother Tony, I know you wasn't on when I gave you the report and I was explaining that most of the time the reports are generated from the local boroughs, the local law enforcement boroughs. But every time a child is reported missing, each law enforcement agency is required by law to report that to the Justice Department. So the numbers in your local area may very well seem to be minute compared to the numbers that the Justice Department has to deal with. And so, since I got a direct link, I wanted to share with the listening audience and you, Brother Tony, that in 2012 actually, 1,315,600 children. And when I say children, these are people under the age of 18 years, were reported missing. In 2013, of that 1,315,600, 797,500 are still missing today.
Wow.
And out of that, it is like 9.2%. If you claim in all black children, what they consider all black children, 9.2% of the 1.3 million are black children. And if you want to classify them as biracial, that number is 13.5%.
Oh, wow. Well, the Bureau also reported to us that there's about 8 to 10%, particularly of black girls, who don't even get reported at all.
Oh, yes. Those are just the reported ones. But I just did a talk with a rape prevention group last week and got the same numbers from the Department of Justice. Brother Tony, 230,000 rapes, reported rapes, occur in the U.S. every day. That's one woman every 2 minutes is sexually assaulted. And 40% of those are under the age of 18.
Yeah, I mean, and see, and that's what I'm, but look at what they're talking about, Bahrain. You know, you're talking about 200 girls being taken. You know, that's to take our attention on what's happening in this country. You know, that's very, very hypocritical, you know, to be talking about some Muslims are doing something 9,000 miles away when a million is missing in America.
Yes, sir.
There's no outcry, man, but I'm telling you, always remember, the outcry always started from the bottom up. And I think you and these shows have gotten it started, you know. And so the awareness now have to continue to be echoed, has to continue to be followed up on, has to be continue to be taken to the streets, man. And, you know, I'm telling you, it's sad that here in L.A., dear family, we were told that you cannot even go into the high schools to train and teach the girls on how not to be snatched and put into sex trafficking. They're not sensitive enough to even allow us to come in, but yet they're making sure that the children are sensitive to homosexuality. This is coming from high places, and we just got to sound the alarm. So thank you for that report. I mean, that's staggering. That's sickening, you know. And all of us who are listening on this phone, if that don't do something to you, I'm sorry. You're dead.
Well, I got something else for everybody,
apathy.
Brother Tony.
I'm not talking about
I really
apathy.
Do.
I'm talking about, like, Sister Z, let's get off our butt and do something about it. The MGT here in L.A. have been charged by me to start a drop house where many of these girls can be dropped off to us. You know, many of these girls can use their pimps, you see, and now come to a drop-off point where it's controlled by the MGT and the FOI will protect. I wish a pimp would. See? That's worth killing somebody over. You see? That's worth killing you for. You know, we got a lot to talk about, and that's why I'm honored that you have allowed us to come and Brother James on his show, and now this show. And I believe, inshallah, in the next 2 weeks, we need to have a national call and just really, really come up with some strategies that the world will hear us. So,
yes,
I'm
sir.
Sorry,
you will, Brother Tony. Yes, sir. And we have some brothers with us. We have Brother Ehrhan Cher out of New York, Brother Kim out of Las Vegas.
Come on,
we have a lot of people on the show. Brother Avery is on. He's out of Atlanta, and I want to hear from all of you, and I thank you so much for coming on, but I just want to share something else, Brother Tony, that I'm only doing this because I want to make an impact. I don't want this show, more than any other show, I don't want this show to be a wasted effort, and anybody that knows me, I've been doing this for 3 years, so anybody that knows me, I'm not very personal. I never get personal. I don't share my personal business on the air, but just to show you how serious this is and how long going this has been, I want to share a brief story with you so that you can understand what is really going on. It is not so much about the numbers, because the numbers will leave your mind in a minute. You know, you have so many numbers to deal with. But let me tell you about what happens to these little girls. Mm. And I'm going to first tell you how I know, because I, myself, was a missing child. I was missing for 8 days. I was bound, I was drugged, and I was not sexually assaulted, and I was not severely abused. But there's a girl that we're going to call Janet Doe, and she was one of my first clients coming out of college that I counseled. Janet was molested initially by her uncle and a friend at her aunt's house in the summer. She was 14 years old. The uncle molested her. The friend molested her. And before you know it, by the end of the night, she had been had by maybe 18 or 20 boys. And they beat her. And they did all kinds of things to her that I'm not going to even go into. But too much for her to handle. And I don't think people understand the horror, the pain, the brutality, the lack of humanity that goes on. These girls get defecated on. You know, they get urinated on. They get spit on. They get beaten. And then after they beaten and broken, they get raped repeatedly. You have no idea. Not only young girls, but young boys too. Not to mention the brutality and the abuse.
Mm-hmm.
You have no idea. This is what I want to speak to. We don't know what little Felicia went through yesterday.
That's right.
But what happens in the future by the ones who they call lucky to survive, or it's a blessing you survive. Not everybody survived. Janet did not survive. She dealt with it as long as she could. But every time she looked in the mirror, there was that reminder where her face was caved in, where her nose had been broken, where three of her fingers had been cut off, where she was never able to have a normal relationship with any man and would never bear children. All of this were reminders to her. And I'm not saying that, you know, everybody is going to succumb to that kind of pain. But I'm just saying that that kind of trauma at a very young age can be detrimental to life. She could have went a whole nother way. She could have ended up being a serial killer or a
sure.
child sadist or anything. She could have did anything, but she took her own life. So
she committed
not
suicide.
So much as the trauma, but the results of the trauma. I thank Allah. I was blessed that all they did to me was drug me and had rope burns so bad that they thought my wrist was going to fall off. But I thank Allah that was with me in those 8 days. But everybody didn't come back to tell their story. So I don't want anybody to think about the numbers. I want you to think about the pain. I want you to think about the torture, and I want you to think about it being done to an 8-year-old, a 5-year-old, a 4-year-old, a 2-year-old, a 1-year-old, a baby, because this is what's happening when these children oftentimes are snatched, and the older girls, or you can forget it, they tricking them out. That's what I want you to think about tonight. And when you see
yeah.
that child in the street, and when you're too busy, and when you're hanging with your boys on the corner, you're playing basketball, you're drinking a 40, whatever you're doing, I just want you to take a moment just to be vigilant, just to pay attention, just to be that one that a girl can shout out to and say, you know, help, somebody's doing something to me. It is important because it could mean the difference between life and death. Now, I'm not going to talk anymore, but I want to acknowledge Brother Avery, are you on the phone? And then we have a caller from Florida. I'm not sure who that is, but 813, the last four numbers, 4140.
Assalamu alaikum, sister. This is Brother Avery.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Avery, and thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you, sister, for honoring me on your show. I'm really been moved by this show and my brother Tony over in the West Coast. I'm just in 100% all that he said. I first must bow when there is no God but Allah. Thank him for his Muhammad and the messenger, so it's all in the humble Lord's Farrakhan for his presence that he bring of love in our community. And that's all that's been ringing in my spirit, is that until we be reawakened to the love we should have for one another, and I don't know how you can just listen to this conversation and not be moved by it with some form of level of pain and to an extent some grief, whereas it's just calling on us to do much more in our community. And And for those that I know, most of us have came from a Bible some kind of way or another. And like Brother Minister Tony mentioned in reference to reaching out to our organizations and to the church and just calling the men onto the post. You can start right there in Genesis 34. Here's instructions in our scripture on what we should do in reference to protecting our women and our girls and our community. And I feel, and I know their spirits likened to what I'm feeling at this time, it has to be an example set. Just like Brother Minister Tony saying that there must be a national call, a national conference. Well, we're going to have to, as men, set a national example of the consequences for committing such acts with the women and the girls in our community. That is the only way this is going to succeed. And
come
we
on,
should control our community. And see, that's what Honorable Louis Farrakhan said. There's no kill in you. There's no God in you. So once we make that loud and clear, not just among men, but as women as well, sisters, we're going to have to come from that weak part ourselves and stand for our children, our boys and girls. And to me, that's coming a little too home. I don't want to give no long testimony in reference to how it touches my doorstep, but at some point, we have to be reawakened to the genuine love of self, where every little girl we see, that's my niece, that's my daughter. And whether you have a relationship or not, you make the relationship, because, again, we don't never know when this thing will visit our door, and that shouldn't be the pretense that we get up on the call. It's, again, it just should be a reawakening to the love of God that we should have in ourselves for one another. And until we are actually getting out there, start and read Genesis 34 chapter and see what Jacob's son did when their sister was violated. And it's in the Quran to what measure we should go and to what extent we should go to make an example out of those predators that feel like our children are out there with no value. And that, again, that's the priceless value of the teaching of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, as taught by the Honorable Louis Farrakhan and the representatives, is that it gives us a sense of value of ourselves, sense of value of one another, and a value of our future and our children. So to even hear about instances like this, it should stir something up in you, make you want to go out and do something and make a difference. In patrolling, yes, we should start there. However, we never start the part. Once we do catch one in the act, let that be the national example that we make. And then we will see the numbers will curl down a little. But to tap into the pain, that's the proof in itself that we are dead. Because we don't feel the pain of our brothers and sisters 2-3 cities away, 2-3 states away. And like Brother Minister Tony said, it's so hypocritical for this nation to be concerned about other nations, atrocities going on with girls being abducted. Yes, we feel that way, but how we're being overlooked over in here on this continent. We talking about a million more, just 2012. We see nothing proactive on our nation's part. We won't expect any better. We over here because of an abduction.
Come on,
brother.
You have to see.
I want to leave it on that note,
brother.
I'm just on this subject at this time. Yes, there's much more we can do all throughout the city and all throughout the nation. But until us as men find it in self, the God in ourselves, to make the example that needs to be made, then this will keep and going on, and the numbers will keep on increasing, and our babies will feel that there is no hope in reference to some safety or protection they should feel from their fathers, their uncles, and their brothers. But this is seed. Once we are stimulated with the love of God in one another, then it's not
That's
a subject
right.
we'll talk about. It'd be a subject that we're doing something about.
Go ahead, brother.
Wa alaikum salam.
Thank you,
beautiful.
Brother Avery. Thank you, Brother Avery. And I want to go to Brother Efron right quick, because Brother Efron, you are in New York. And
I still,
believe it or not, as many people that are in New York, more people are come up missing in Florida and St. Louis than in New York. But I know they come up missing in New York. So tell us about that situation in New York, that big metropolitan mess they got going on with these missing children.
Ever so blessed, ever so blessed. This goes out to each and every one of you brothers and all. Sister, I'm going to tell you, and it's kind of hard for me to be able to grab hold to my emotions at the moment because it hurts.
Yes, a lot of
people don't like a guest speaker like the mind of a man like me because they don't want to hear the raw reality of the truth. I say to each and every one of us, if we knew, if we were as properly as educated, if we had the degrees, if we was really what we so claim we believe, my God, if we had the mind today based on the realities of what has taken place to our people yesterday, it would make you so strong as a people today than ever before. And the culture of my people has a history like no other ethnic group has ever had. We should not have to ask you, are you my brother, are you my sister, are you my neighbor? We should not have to ask each other, do you believe in that that created us, and do we have a responsibility to make sure that we are safe and the babies that are born are safe? Our history alone that made you an educated mind of today makes you realize that you have a responsibility. And here's the most shameful, here's the most hurting part about it. The more advanced and educated mind you are, the more you understand that if you're not doing it, if you're not doing it, if you haven't developed it, if you haven't used the intelligence to make it before you give birth, you are just as corrupt as those that has corrupted you. Because you know these kids are not safe before you give birth to a child, yet you run around doing it like it's nothing. It breaks your heart to see that we are talking, that we as a people need to worry about what we're going on in different states, and we're going on with different governments, and we're going on different. I say all you people of the dark persuasion, I say every one of you black mind, I say every one of you that God has created, I say every one of you that want to tell the animals that he said he made you more than being an animal, that you have come together, that you are taking the responsibility, and you're going to make it so strong that those of them that do the most corrupt thing like this sister was just now describing, what they did to that girl, that they would turn themselves in because they don't want to be captured by those of us that love and care. They don't want to be.
Come on, brother. Now
because
you're
talking. If you are, I'm the type of mind of a man that tells you, and I tell them all, even the biblical conscious of it, when Jesus said, you go to it now, Matthew, you go to it 5. You go to Matthew 5:17, and he said, I never came to change the law. I came to fulfill the prophecy. That means if there was a law, if there's a penalty for the things that you did before he came, you have to pay the price for those things continuously. If you use your penis to torture and abuse that child the way you're doing, the way you're selling these babies at 2 years old, you should be with acid put up inside of you. And you get the most exciting nut. You get the most exciting nut that you ever had in your life and you feel that acid burning up inside.
Whoa!
I reassure you that the next corrupt mind that even thinks of doing something like that to a child, just knowing that something that nature may be the price that he has to pay, I'm almost certain that even she won't take her daughter and sell her child because she's afraid. You read my work and you see how much praise I give to the womb. And all my work, I give praise to the womb because I want them to understand how precious that womb is. I want them to remember the womb is so precious that it reminds me of the grounds, and if there was no ground, there would be no tree, just as there would be no me. And I want them, each one, to understand, oh, my God, the things that will be done to you when you... Brother, I'm doing the best I can. They call me the street educator. It breaks my heart. I fight hard as I can to hold my tears back because we are a people that is so strongly divided to a sick mind of a people who don't care about what they are doing to not just we, but now to the babies. So I say, as you hear me speaking, you can hear it. As I say, give all praise when he said, I made you in the like image of myself. I didn't write that. It was documented. And when he said, I gave you the ability to utilize your intellectual ability to be able to create as you were created. You have the intellectual ability to be able to create a better environment, a better community, a better value, a better understanding of the realities of what we mean to each other. I'm not waiting for the Creator to penalize you and punish you for what you have done. I am hurt because he said, I made you in the like image of myself. And we are living lower than what he has made us to be. We are living for what he has even made the dogs, the lions, the animals in a lower level. Now, people can say what they want to say. I go to the zoo, and I quietly stand there, and I've watched them. And I see when that lion gives birth, that lion is not playing with you. Now, you go up there and try to rape it. She'd rather die. And he? Brother, you already know. You've seen the effects of it. Sisters, you've seen the effects of it. Those of you who have a conscious mind, you've seen the effects of it. That brother is not playing with you. And that's why you have it documented as it is written. The gate. Why do you think they wrote that? The gate. The gate is telling you that there's a community of people that has a gate. And when you come to that gate, you better be on your... You better be on your best, because if you come beyond that gate and you violate anything that's up in there, then you will be as Satan was. You will be cast out of heaven. I didn't document that, the raw realities of that, but since I have a sense of intelligence, I seem to understand that this made very clear to you. You cannot live in this heaven if you do not live according to the rules, according to the laws, according to the understandings, according to the very values that is keeping the beauty of that heaven a beautiful place to be. Am I making sense so
yes,
far, please?
Sir. Yes, sir. Thank you, brother Efron. Thank you so much. Yes, sir. You're making a lot of sense. You're making a lot of sense. And, you know, the thing about it is that that's what it's going to take. And, you know, I don't want anybody to think that we're advocating violence, because that is not what we're doing. But everybody has a right to defend their lives, and they have a right to defend their children at all costs, because children do not deserve to be preyed upon. They are not the trinkets and toys of some sex fiend to be preyed upon. And so I tell you, I'll be the first one to tell you, if you touch add one of mine, and I said that in all the incorrect English I could find, you touch add one of mine, and I'm going to lay you down forever. Now, that's not a threat. That's a promise. And
by
I'm
any
done
means
with
necessary.
That. I'm done
by
with that.
By any means necessary.
Okay, now we're going to hear from Student Minister James. He's joined us on the line. Brother James, you have something you want to share with us tonight?
Yes, first and foremost, I want to give all of you the greetings of peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
And as always, before we express ourselves, we seek refuge in Allah from the accursed Satan, and we ask Allah for his help and for his guidance, by saying, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. You all have probably discussed before I came on the recent event regarding our beloved, beautiful little sister, Felicia Williams. I'm sure you talked about that. As I look at how, and I'm listening, I was listening to the statistics that was shared by you and by Brother Minister Tony. And I always try to find some guidance in Allah, God's word, either in the Quran and or the Bible. And I was reading in my search a verse from the sixth chapter entitled The Cattle. This is in the Quran, the 138th verse, and it reads, and thus their associate gods have made fair seeming to many polytheists the killing of their children, that they may cause them to perish and obscure for them their religion. Now, on the surface, understanding of that particular verse is a historical reference to the Arabs in their day of ignorance that is referred to in the Arabic term Jahiliyyah. They used to bury their female daughters. But I'm trying to apply that in the broader sense to the suffering, abuse, and attack on our children and the children of the world. And so I'm looking at it in this way. Allah is saying, and thus their associate gods have made fair seeming to many polytheists. And the polytheist is one who worships more than one god, the killing of their children. Now, this is not to focus on any particular faith expression, in my opinion, but it is to focus on how we have deviated in the name of religion from the proper worship of Almighty God, the proper reverence of Almighty God. And thus, it is made fair seeming to those of us who have deviated from the proper worship of God, the killing, the suffering, the murder, the rape, the abuse, and the neglect of our children. This is why in the scripture, Jesus used the word suffer in his statement, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And that word suffer is defined as to undergo or feel pain or distress, to sustain injury, disadvantage, or loss, to undergo a penalty as of death, to endure pain, disability, even death, etc., patiently or willingly. In my humble opinion, in the broader sense, this is what we must bring to our love for our children, the willingness to suffer, to sacrifice, to endure pain, to be patient, that when we see our children acting as they are acting, the savage, cruel, and apparent criminal acts one against the other, we're so quick to condemn our children. We're so quick to criminalize them. We're so quick to get the authorities or call out for the national guard. Even our own people are calling for this on our children. But what is the root of it? What is the source of it? And what is and who is the hidden hand behind this all, manipulating the circumstances? In our case, we must remember, Pharaoh called all of his wise advisors. Is that right, Minister Tony?
Absolutely.
And they advised him, come, let us deal wisely with the children of Israel. And we know now, from the teachings of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, that the children of Israel are none other than the black man and woman here in the bounds and hells of North America. Come, let us deal wisely with them. And what is the wisdom of their conspiracy? Let's kill all the boy babies. Kill them all. To kill the boy baby is not only to kill the physical male, but to kill the ability of the woman to bring forth fruit from her womb. And this is made fair seeming by the associate gods, meaning those who have deviated from the proper worship. It ain't got nothing to do with no label of Christianity or Judaism or Islam or whatever label we ascribe to, whatever faith expression we hold to or profess. But all have deviated from the proper worship of God, and as such, it has become fair seeming to kill our children, kill them with neglect, kill them with abuse. This is how I'm trying to understand it. We hope and pray that our actions that we intend to visit the family of Felicia Williams tomorrow by the grace of Allah and bring to whatever consoling words, very difficult to console anyone in a situation like this, but we want them to know that the followers of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan are there. We are concerned. She is our child, and we intend, under the wise guidance of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, to do whatever we can to bring the guilty party to justice, but to offer consolation in an inconsolable time. So that's what I wanted to say, Sister Aziza. Thank you for allowing me those few words.
Yes, sir. And I just got a text from my cousin Victoria, and she gave me the updated numbers from the Justice Department, and she was able to tell me that 289,900 children. And even though they're over 18, they're considered, came up missing when they were youth, that it's 289,900 between the ages of 11 and 22, and 79% of those are suspected of being involved in the sex trafficking trade. And then she gave me another number that I just sent her a text to ask, you know, to confirm that, you know, it was not in error. But before I give that number out, I'm just waiting to make sure, because I don't want to say it and it's not accurate. But yeah, she just told me. She said since 1983, 408,000 black males are missing since 1983. That's a country. Now, these are not the brothers who are incarcerated. These are not the brothers that are known to be already deceased. These are the babies that are missing. And these children range from ages 7 days old up until, and what they do, they update it every year. They're from 7 years old up until some of them will be 39 or 40 years old at this time. And then I share with Brother Kim, and Brother Kim, thank you for being on with us. I share with Brother Kim today that on my own, I've been doing a research about St. Louis and Florida. Now, Florida, there are a wide range of cities along that coastal state that have been involved, you know, Gainesville, Jacksonville, Pensacola, Tampa, West Palm Beach, a lot of cities. But St. Louis and East St. Louis in particularly, I have a 19-year research that I've done, and every year for the last 19 years, from May 10th, up until like the end of August or September, there are these girls that come up missing in these two states during this particular time, and they become missing in clusters. Now, maybe it's just me, you know, maybe I'm just being a fanatic about it, but it never fails that before the summer actually officially begins, these girls come up missing in these two states, and they are missing in clusters, and then all of a sudden they're off the grid, and they're quickly off the grid. And when I say off the grid, I mean that if they've been missing for 2 months, you can walk into the police station and say, you know, have you had an update on this missing child? And all of a sudden the file has been deleted, and the parents or the, you know, caretakers got to re-report, and these things, you know, that take place. And in St. Louis, there's always between May 10th and May 17th, anywhere between 5 and 7 women that come up missing every year for the last 19 years. But when you go into their police station, and if you're not consistent, they're off the grid. They're no longer missing, according to law enforcement. It's something going on with that. So I don't want to alarm our listening audience by thinking that, wow, you know, it's some psycho running around here snatching our children. It's not just that, because there have been systematically children that come up missing in a systematic type of way. You know, they come up missing at different periods of time. And then what is so ironic about that, Brother James and Brother Tony, is that in 2010, don't you know that the same of black boys that went missing matches the amount of brown boys that went missing? The exact same number. Maybe it's a coincidence. I don't think so. That's just that's just my take on it. You know, those numbers match identically. So, you know, we have to be careful in all walks of life. We have to be careful in the schools. We have to be careful with law enforcement. We have to take a stand against everybody who interacts within our community and near our children. We can't trust anybody. And the most difficult thing about all of this is that in the black community, the predators look like us.
Mm-hmm.
That's another factor. So you don't want to walk around pointing the finger at every brother, every sister, you know, but if we all would just watch out, you know, we could help prevent some of the atrocities that are taking place within our community. That's all I want to call attention to. You know, I just don't think it's necessary for the amount of children that come missing every year. There is some neglect on our part as parents. And I'm sorry, but that is the truth. I watch out for all of the children in my community. I don't have any babies. My babies are 29 years old. But every child in the next 2 blocks of where I live, I know them by name. I know who their parents are. I know what house they live in. They're not mine, not biologically, but they're mine. And they're white, and they're black, and they're brown, and they're oriental, but they're children.
Mm-hmm.
That's the type of environment that we got to get into. I know when somebody, if there's a car riding down my street, I know if I've seen that car before. We have to pay attention, but we have become so disconnected from our own humanity. We've become so disconnected from one another. We don't know our neighbors, and we don't protest. We don't go down to City Hall and say, hey, why is it in my neighborhood we got 400 registered sex offenders? We don't even check. We don't even check. We don't know who's living in our neighborhood.
That's right.
And we don't protest about them dumping them there in our neighborhood amongst our children. And there are some things, some very simple things that we have to do. If you know that you have registered sex offenders in your community and all you have to do is put in your zip code and you will look, you can look it up and they will tell you how many registered sex offenders are in your neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you have to do. That should be enough to make you stand up and take notice and say, hey, you know what? Everybody has to be responsible for looking out for these children. You need to know who your neighbors are, especially if you have children. You need to know them. You know, so I just want us to all be proactive women. Lord have mercy.
Mm-hmm. Come on, Queen.
I have been a mother for 33 years. If I never be anything else, I thank Allah for my children. They have been a beautiful blessing to me. Would die for either one of them. There's a responsibility that comes along with that.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to take it seriously. I heard Denzel Washington say, his mother say, well, I can't watch you and feed you too. But she made provisions for him to make sure that he was looked after, to make sure that he was taken care of. That's the kind of parenting we have to do. I know a lot of you are single parents. I know that. But that don't mean you stop parenting because you're single. You have to take care of your children. That is a, that shouldn't be a burden. That should be second nature.
Amen.
And I tell you, it's no excuse. I'm sorry. I empathize to a certain degree, but I never understand. How is your 12-year-old, your 13-year-old, your 14-year-old getting shot at 2 o'clock in the morning? What the hell is he doing out at 2 o'clock in the morning?
Mm-hmm.
I don't get that. We have to be better. Parents, I'm sorry. It's no other way around it. Our brothers, brothers got to stand up. And I'm going to tell you something about you fathers who have these so-called irreparable relationship with your baby mama, and she don't let me see my child, and this, this, that, and the other. Stop making those excuses. Because the last place you want to see your child is laying in a coffin. Or the last report you want to get about your child is that he or she is missing. Men, you have to step up to the plate and take care of your children.
That's
Don't
right.
you know that a girl child will seek the affection of a man, especially if she has not had a father in her life? I'm sorry, I didn't want to sneeze on the air. If she has not had a father in her life, she will seek the affection of a man. And more than likely, that encounter with that man will be a negative one or a sexual one. And that influences her greatly. She ends up growing up being a girl thinking that the only affection that can be shown between a man and a woman is sex. So she's born practically a victim. So it is vitally important that you have a relationship with your children. Work it out. I hear so many people, you would be amazed how many brothers I hear say, I haven't seen my son. I got a son, but me and the mama don't get along. I haven't seen my son in 5 years. I haven't seen my son in 10 years. No excuse for that. You are a father. That is your seed. You have a responsibility to be active in their life. It's not about no money. I don't care if you give them 50 cents a week. But it's about the parenting. It's about the security. It's about them having a fair opportunity to live this life. That's what it's about. And I don't, personally, I don't want to hear about another Felicia, and I know I will. I know I will, no doubt about it. But damn it, do I have to? Do we have to? Some things you cannot prevent. Some things are going to happen. Like Brother James or Brother Tony said, you know, that's from Mrs. Will. You know, things are going to happen, absolutely. But they should not happen because of our negligence. And they should not happen because we have abandoned our children. And they should not happen because we let every electrical thing parent our children because we don't take time, because we don't make provision. There's no substitute for a father, and there's no substitute for a mother. Whether biologically or not, parenting is no substitution for that. And that's what we have to do to save our children. And you'll feel better for it, because if something happens to your child, knowing that you were the best mother, that you were the best father that you could be, then everything else was the Lord's will or whatever, then you can feel good about that. But how do you feel when your child come up missing, raped, beaten, and dead? All because you didn't take time. Because you couldn't watch that child. Because you didn't make provisions for your child. And now that life is gone. And everybody talking about, you know, well, let's come to each other with love and respect. And yeah, I'm not pacifying nobody tonight. Because who in the hell pacified Felicia when she was dying? So that's all I'm going to say, and I'm going to, anybody have questions or comments, press 1 on your dial pad. We'll take your questions and comments. There's a caller from Florida, last four numbers, 4140. If you have a question or a comment, you can do it, say so at this time. 813, last four numbers, 4140. Okay, and I think we lost Brother Tony. Okay, Brother Kim,
yes,
are you still with us?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Okay, Brother Kim, tell us a little more about what's going on in Las Vegas, and tell us a little bit more about what your program is doing as it relates to that situation.
I want to say before, you know, I get into that, you know, this topic is, it touched home because I come from a single mother, you know, who did the best that she could in raising her two children. When you talk about love, love is a very key component to raising your children. You have to be fanatical in loving your seed, and you have to be one who will give your life to provide for your seed. See, my mother, she was taken advantage of when she was a young girl. And there's a book that's entitled DMS4. It deals with the psychological mindset of human beings who have been affected by certain things. And my mother was mentally affected all her life from men taking advantage of her unwillingly. But she had me and my sister, and she raised us. But I used to see my mother in her bedroom with her door cracked, crying because she was mentally traumatized all of her life. And I made an oath to myself as a man when I said, when I became a man. And as a young boy, I was very protective of my mother. And when I became a man, I said, I will not allow my children not to see me involved in their affairs because my father wasn't around. But me and him now, we have an excellent relationship, and I love my father. But I say all that to say, as men, there is no excuse. if you have children that you're not involved in their lives.
Come
the Honorable Louis Farrakhan teaches us we have to accept our responsibility and be accountable for the things that we do. I'm not a preacher, you know, and I listen to our student ministers, and I'm very moved by that. But anybody that does harm to a child, I'm not a sympathizer with that. They should be decapitated if you violate a young girl's privacy, because that's the only thing that God gives of her that's very, very sacred. So when you violate that and you take that from her, you psychologically mess her up for life, and she will be traumatized, because I'm telling you from what I know, from what I've seen being raised by my mother. And we have to understand as men, we have to become the yardstick by which things is measured. This is what the Honorable Louis Farrakhan teaches us. We have to become the yardstick by which things is measured. So if you have a daughter, you got to be an excellent representation of yourself. And she has to see you in the light of saying, man, when I grow up, if he ain't like my father, then he got to come a long way. And that's the kind of character that we have to take. Because here in the city of Las Vegas, if you go down on the strip, you have Arabs that come here to Las Vegas. And you have young sisters between the age of 14 and 21 that are out there walking in and out of casinos. And let me tell you, it's a conspiracy. Because the casinos allow these young girls to go in and out because they benefit from it. And some of those pit bosses down there, they make money off our young girls selling their bodies to these foreigners that come into this country. And I'm not talking about nobody but our children, our black children. Our young girls are being violated. And we stand on the side and we don't do nothing. That's unacceptable in the 21st century. So to our program is to re-identify the young boys within our community on what it is to respect themselves, respect society, and do right by one another. You know, we had a question yesterday in our program among the young boys, and we asked them, what is the definition of ratchet? And one of the young boys told us what ratchet was. It's a new word. It's not really new, but it's language that is spoken among the young people. He said, ratchet is a girl who does not have respect for herself. I said, why do you think she don't have respect for herself? He said, I don't know. I said, because we allow that to exist because we don't have respect for ourselves. See, once we start to respect ourselves, our girls and women will start to respect themselves because they are looking for men. And that is what is void in the 21st century among us in our black community as men who represent the quality of the Spirit of God. As long as we continue to do other than what the Honorable Louis Farrakhan is telling us to do, we will always be victimized by this type of atrocity that exists. I mean, it's heartfelt when you hear about a baby body being washed up on the beach. She's 9 years old. What can a 9-year-old do to any human being? It doesn't make any sense. You know, the Quran teaches us this, and I close on this. Even in death, as a man, you're still responsible for the well-being of your children and your wife. So even in death, you got to make sure that you have the ability to provide for them mentally, spiritually, and also physically. I leave my house at night, and I know my wife, she put a chair up next to the door. But when I'm at home and I'm off of work, there's no chairs that go up to the door because she feels safe, because she knows there's a man in the house who's willing to give his life to protect their life. And that's how we got to be in our communities. We have to be vigilant fathers who are willing to give their lives, even if they're not your seed. You got to be willing to give your life to save our children's lives. That's why the Honorable Louis Farrakhan has us in the streets. Minister Farrakhan is a general. He knows what he's doing. We got to be seen. We got to shake hands. We got to go door to door. Our people are looking for a safe haven. They find a safe haven in real men. And the Honorable Louis Farrakhan teaches that a real man is one who reflects the Spirit of God. So wherever you go, the Spirit of God got to be on you. And this is what we got to convey to the community. This is what we got to do. We got to be responsible for teaching and training and elevating. Sister, I totally agree with you. There is no excuse for no brother not to be involved in the affairs of their children. And if they don't know how, then they need to have some mediation. And that's where Dianetics come into play and help curb that appetite for separation among ourselves. We practice on ourselves black inferiority, black hate. We practice that on ourselves. So we got to come out of that way of thinking, and we got to get in this community, and we got to help. Sister, I'm with you 100% when you say you want to make this a nationwide campaign. Whatever you need us to do in the city of Las Vegas, I'm guaranteeing you, sister, I'll get with our captain, I'll get with our student minister, and I know they're going to be all for it, sister. That's all I have to say.
Yes, sir, and thank you, Brother Kim, so much for that. And Brother Avery, I'm going to come back to you because you're down in Atlanta, and Atlanta is certainly no stranger to this type of behavior. I remember when the boys came up missing and they convicted Wayne Williams, only to find out that right now today they've only tied one or two murders to him, and the rest of these cases still remain unsolved. Mm-hmm. What is it that you're seeing in Atlanta as it relates to this situation?
Yes, ma'am. First of all, just as my brother has mentioned, you know, the Honorable Louis Farrakhan has called all FOI into the streets for instances like this where we have to patrol our community.
We can't hear you, Brother Avery. I'm sorry.
Yes, ma'am. Just to expound on the situation with the young boys relative to the Wayne Williams case, which is probably now known all throughout the nation how that is a conspiracy that yet today is unresolved and no answers to that situation. But it's not too long ago, a few years here, we also have Georgia, and Atlanta in itself was one of the key cities that was one of the spearheads of the charges for a felony for the prostitution of young girls. And one of them got one conviction for that, for of the prostitution of one girl, the young girls of 12 and 13 years in Atlanta, which at one time it was to the point where it was just too alarming, where, you know, you had your nation to get involved and finally institute a law and penalize based off that. Daughters, yeah. Like New York City, our daughters are being victimized, and the value of our females and young boys, again, their life is treated as less than trash.
Mm-hmm.
So that view is, again, like you have stated, for us fathers and mothers, where it should start. We have to, as fathers and mothers, we have to get back on our post and parent. And it's not enough to be said that we need community involvement. It's not enough to be said that we need our organization, grassroots organization, our church and religious affiliation, to get involved in this as well. But now is at the point where it calls for a national alarm. Just as with the nation, they came out with the Amber Alert. That was officially established because of, from my understanding, when the white girl was missing. So from her life, that nation now has the Amber Alert for any missing child. Well, we don't hear that often, or not at all in our community. So we have to establish something like that within our community and in our nation. Alert, where it'll go echo throughout all cities, and it'll touch radio stations, and if we can get it on television, whatever it takes to show that we have a sense of value for our lives, we have a sense of respect for our lives, and we are concerned enough about our lives where we would take the approach that's necessary to stop this epidemic to continue in our community. And then when our children begin to feel a sense of safety, our women begin to feel a sense of safety, our young boys will feel a sense of safety, then we can say we are on our post. But as long as they're in doubt that their life is not valued, or in doubt that they are not safe going to school or being on the bus stop or going to the corner store or going down the street, as long as this is lingering in our children's mind and in our women's mind, then there's a job yet to be done. And I'm here to be proud to say that we have FOI here in the state of Georgia responding to the call on Blue Farrakhan is to get out in the street and allow the community to feel the FOI presence. That is not enough. We need a community effectiveness. We need our entire community to get involved and follow that same call to show that we are concerned about our children, we are concerned about our women, and we'll do what is necessary. We'll do what is required to protect them and respect them.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Avery. And Brother Efron, I want to ask you, I know that you're in New York, very busy place, but what about the sex trafficking and the so-called underground city of, I don't know what you would call it, of prostitution? How effective has law enforcement been on eradicating some of that? Because the last I heard, they were not doing anything about the underground city of prostitution.
To be honest with you, sister, I don't know if you've seen it on my page, but I've been placing great emphasis on this for the last 3 or 4 months now, more so than anything else for the last month. There is none. There is nowhere near as much as should be, but to me it's almost as if there is none. It's not being publicized. The media is not. You don't even hear it when you're holding a basic conversation amongst yourselves with people of the communities as if it has. It breaks your heart to really see it realistically, but when I was in a circle of a great number of supposedly advanced minds, and we are holding conversations, and I just so happened to take the floor, and I asked, how many of you are truly concerned with the young black women that are literally at this day and this time being sold, being raped, being kidnapped, being for whatever God could put them through? And this circle of people should hurt you more than anyone else, because you are a people of the darker persuasion, and you have a history. No other people throughout this whole world has a history the same as we do. So just you being educated enough to understand that, as soon as you hear something of this nature taking place, it should set off a certain alarm. As I was in the process of speaking with these particular people about it, the host of the event told me, or rather he suggested to me, that I be quiet. The individual told me that it wasn't a good time for you. This is not the moment. We don't want to speak about that at this very moment. We'll talk with you later on. Well, so they had to leave, okay? I would be even a little raw with it, but I don't want to give nobody the wrong impression about myself.
Mm-hmm.
But it hurt me. It hurt me because you were speaking on behalf of all the different things that you believe is of great importance, and it wasn't pertaining to this, the very lives of the very existence of these things that are affecting family life, and more important than anything else, these young girls, and then more devastating than anything else, them of the same culture, more so than any other ethnic group of people. You have the audacity, like I said, and I also had to tell them, you know what I learned? If I give all praise to the Creator for whatever little bit of common sense that I have, I learned in my research, in my historical research, I've learned that if these people, a handful of people came into the land and were taking a people to do the most unbelievable things to a people, I wondered, how did this handful of people get into your house to do this to you? How? And that's when I started learning. You know, your own was doing the same thing that they're doing today. You were selling, you were doing what you're doing to yourselves. Otherwise, slavery would have never been as effective as it was, as powerfully, as effective as it was, existing as it was. It would have never been. It would have. We have almost 400 years. We have over 500, 600 years of historical things that have taken place to our ethnic group of people. And I just began to realize, and then I understood why it was documented when Jesus also said that you're going to deny me.
I put that psychology together and I begin to understand. Every time that one of those are approached, you walk away as if nothing happened. There's nothing wrong. You walk away like, I didn't know. You live today as if you really don't know that it's happening worldwide. It's happening to you, a people that it has never happened to before. So, again, here in New York, here in these particular states, again, like I said, it breaks your heart because you're not hearing. The media is not. You don't hear it. You don't hear a great number of people making it very clear. And then unite as a people to tell them, not only are we going to fight to make you stop, but we're also going to make it so that you cannot do it here. Now, I'm in the middle of that war, realistically, because you already know I am a father. And I have daughters, and I have granddaughters. I do everything day by day to maintain my sanity. I keep my distance for a certain particular reasons. This psychological war, just trying to maintain the family value, is unbelievable. Trust me, it's not coincidental. But at the same time, me, the man that I am, the person that I am, the existence and values of me as a human being that I am, it's not a secret to no one. So I make it very clear, again, like I said, you would rather turn yourself in than to be brought to my attention that you are the one that had to be that did. And so, again, I say, Sister, you're 100% correct. You know, there's not enough being done here. If you realize I had to break it up and I bring certain things to the floor because psychologically it hurts, but more important than anything else, there's so much more raw things that I would love to bring to the floor. Oh, my God, I would love to bring to the floor, but I have to back up off of it because this is being publicized.
That's okay, Brother Efron. Now, I cannot believe we got all these people on the phone lines and none of y'all have nothing to say. I know that all of y'all have children or grandchildren. I want to hear from the listening audience. I want y'all to press one on your dial pad before we go. We only have a few more minutes. I do want to hear from you, but I want to get some information. I'm so sorry that we lost Brother Tony, but I think his phone died. And, you know, you gentlemen, being FOI, Brother Kim, Brother James, Brother Avery, you know, I want you, if you could, if each of you could give us 3 points of safety measures that women and children can take to protect themselves. And I'm going to start with you, Brother Kim. Can you give us 3 protective measures that women and children can take to protect themselves?
Yes, ma'am. And 3 that, you know, as my wife being an MGT, and we've been together ever since high school, so that's about 22 years. The very first thing sisters shouldn't be doing is going out at night. Whatever you need to do it in the daytime because predators come out at night also. So if you need to go to the market, handle it during the daylight hours. And for your children, they need to be vigilant. You know, you never walk up to a car that's unknown if someone tells you to come here, let me talk to you. And you need to know your surroundings. You need to make sure that if you take a route home as a child, you need to know somebody on that block that you can engage with. Those are things that you need to know. So I encourage the mothers, single mothers, make sure that you stay in your house at night. You know, make sure that you your phone is charged. And to the children, make sure that you know numbers that you can reach out and contact people with. And make sure that you never, ever, ever have any type of communication with someone that you don't know. It's not a bad thing for you just to say, I don't know you. And my mother and my father said, I don't supposed to talk to strangers. And in the process of them saying that, they should be backing up. These are some of the things that our children need to know and the mothers need to know. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Kim. And Student Minister James?
Yes, ma'am. I have to say that I'm in complete agreement with our brother. as far as the women being out at night, because there's something about the night, which of course is the cover of darkness, that inclines those who have perverted intentions to come out and do whatever it is they want to do because they have the cover of darkness. I would say this also to sisters. You know, dear sister, perhaps the way you dress, and I'm referencing now, I say sisters because that's my language, but I'm talking about all women. You know, perhaps the way you dress does not necessarily indicate what you are, who you are, whether you are loose, available, or whether you are moral, dignified, and self-respecting. But your dress is very, very, very important. Men are inclined to think a certain way given how about a woman, given how she presents herself. I remember seeing a very funny but very thought-provoking skit on the Dave Chappelle show. He was dressed up as a policeman, and this woman was in need of a policeman. And the woman ran to him and told, and of course was exclaiming that she needed his help. And he said, "Ma'am, I'm not a policeman." And she said, "Well, why are you dressed that way? You look like a policeman." And then at the end of the skit, he mentioned, he said, "Well, dear, you know, listen, women, you may not be a prostitute, and you may not be a loose woman. But just as I was mistaken as a policeman, your dress may cause someone to mistake what you are, who you are, and your disposition of mind. So your dress is very, very important." And this is not religion specific. This is for all women of all walks of life, of every faith expression. Cover yourself. Cover your beauty part. Cover, as the Quran says, your adornment. Don't even allow the way you look, your appearance, to send a suggestion to a pervert or someone who has that kind of thinking. And as far as the children are concerned, the children should never be without and not under the supervision of their parent or a well-known adult of the family. And I say well-known, very well-known, whether it's uncle, whether it's aunt, whether it's cousin, grandfather, you name it. I mean well known. Make sure that they're under your personal supervision at all times, as much as you can. And then if they're going to be supervised by someone else, you make sure that that person is well known to you. Teach your children, as brother said, that they should not talk to strangers. If your children grow up in a happy home, a loving home, they naturally will be open to children. I mean, to others. They naturally will be unafraid, and they'll naturally think that everyone is their friend, everyone is nice. So you have to teach your children. Don't talk to strangers. You have to teach them that all strangers are not their friends. And you have to teach your young children, don't ever speak to an adult. Don't ever speak to an adult stranger. Never. your mother, seek your father, whomever you are with, but don't respond to their greeting. Don't respond to their smile. But seek a way away from them and to the safety of your parent or whoever, whatever adult is supervising that child. These are hard times. You don't know who to trust. So that's what I would offer in the way of advice.
Okay, yes, sir. And Brother Avery?
Yes, ma'am. As a parent myself, tips that I what worked for my household by the grace of Allah, and it's kind of like similar to what brothers already mentioned. Myself, I get actively involved in everything my child was involved in. If that's sports, I'm there. I want to know who the coach is. School,
that's
I want to know who the kids and the principals are. His friends, I want to know where his friends stay and who their parents are and what type of environment they have. I never left my son where he's unsupervised to an extent where I have to question who it is that he's being responsible for. And the most key thing, please, parents, talk to your children. Have them to understand that there's some things are inappropriate between an adult and a child. There's certain subjects that is inappropriate that a child should hear or adult should be talking around a child, and have them to tell you everything. Make your children not fail. Reward them for telling this and reward them for telling that. So there's less chance for an abductor or anyone that will think was a violent child. They'll know that there's a consequence that comes with your child. And these little tips at home, it affects the community and wherever you go, because this is the level of love that has to be seen from outside of your home, and it's the level of love that has to be seen in your community. So for those of us that are parents, and even if you don't have a child, show that same interest in the little fella next door or the little daughter that's across the street. Show that same interest and concern. Teach them that there's inappropriate conversations that adults should not be having with the child. Teach them never take a token. Never take any cash. Never take any money. If I had a daughter, Allah is my witness, my daughter would not know what it is to take money from a man. Show me, baby, who that man gave you that quarter, that dollar, that dime.
Mm-hmm.
Make a visit to him and stress that would never be tolerated ever again. However you need to stress it. Same thing with my son. He went to football practice, basketball practice. I made sure that coach understood you're not patting this one on his bottom. You're not holding
him.
Wait. You ain't taking him to the house because he's a special person. That is a no-no, and it's a severe consequence that comes with this life. So with parenting, with all that is said, talk to your children, keep them open, and teach them that there's inappropriate behavior that adults can do with children, and it's not acceptable and not allowed. And no, they cannot give you no candy. No, they cannot give you no money. And get to know the bus driver. Get to know the one that crosses them across the street with the stop sign. You want to know everybody that is in the surroundings of your children. You want to know their name, their address, social security number, and tag plate if necessary. But when you stretch yourself to that point, then the law is sufficient in providing and protecting all our needs. But we have to be on our post and doing our job as parents, doing our job as uncles and aunties, and as just a community activist. We have to do our job in being aware of our surroundings as we are trained to be charged and charged for property and view. We want to be watchful in the time of night. And all means, we carry out them general orders 1 through 12. Let's live them out every day. And I guarantee you we'll bring more safety and security home into our communities than we've been witnessing thus far.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Avery. Okay, let me see if... Last four numbers, 4140. Do you have a question or a comment?
Hi, my name is Crystal Wilson. I do have a question and a comment.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, I guess the proper greeting is assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam, ma'am.
Oh, thank you. Once again, my name is Crystal Wilson. I'm the spokesperson for SNCC. We're restarting the students of the Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. And I guess what I'm asking is, well, we heard about your concerns about Felicia Williams' case, and right now we're putting together a press release. And we're asking for solidarity and support or anyone that we can connect to within Tampa to pretty much just bring her killer to justice and also to raise awareness about the sex trafficking and everything else you guys were talking about on the phone.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I'm sorry, ma'am. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, like, that's all I'm saying. Like, we're putting together a rally. We're reaching out to people. If you guys have connections or people we can get in contact with in Tampa, we would very much appreciate the support. And we're also putting back together the students of the Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, which is SNCC.
SNCC, S-N-I-C?
No, S-N-C-C.
Oh, did you say SNCC?
Yeah, SNCC. SNCC was they were the foot soldiers in the civil rights movement, along with CORE, Congress of Racial Equality. Yeah, and we're just pretty much putting that back together and tackling some of these domestic issues as well as national issues. However, we're just starting up again.
Well,
yes,
you certainly can have my number if you'd like. Yes, sister.
Okay. I appreciate that.
Yes, ma'am. Once again, my name is James Muhammad. I'm a student in the ministry of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in the Nation of Islam. And my number is 813-481-3921.
Thank you so much. Your name is James Muhammad, Reverend James Muhammad, or?
Brother James is absolutely fine.
Okay.
As long as you have that number, all praise is due to Allah. And please, feel free to use it, and quickly.
Okay, I will.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, and Sister Crystal, you know, anytime when you get all the information, I have your number here. Is the number that you're calling in on, is that a good number to reach you?
That is the best number to reach me, yes.
Okay. Well, when you get everything together, I'll text you my phone number, and then we can have you come on the show, and we'll help you promote the event and the organization of the new program. You know, we'll help as much as we can. We're from all over the country, but I have ties in Florida, all up and down Florida. So
that's
we
right.
Would do. We will do everything we can to help you, and please come back and share with us any information that you obtain concerning our dear sister Felicia. Keep us updated, and I'll give you those avenues to contact me, and of course I will share and help you in your efforts to the best of my ability, and I so thank you for calling in and sharing that information with us. And Chris, I want to ask you, since I have you here, I know Felicia's case is brand new. I know she ended up missing yesterday and found today. But how many Felicias have come up, let's just say, to your knowledge, in the last few years or few months or whatever in your area?
There's been a lot of Felicias in our area. I've noticed just by, like, walking into grocery stores that I do see the missing children posted up. And that's why we're doing this. We're trying to, I don't know. We're trying to use Felicia's case as this isn't just like Trayvon Martin, like this isn't just a one-time case, like this happens all the time. And the thing is that so many people in our communities are just like overlooking it, like, oh, this will never happen to my child because of this will never happen to my child because of that, but it probably will happen to your child. So why not come and stand with us in solidarity so we can find safer ways to navigate our children through our neighborhoods. And let's just work together as a community, once again, like just rebuilding our communal factors. Like, let's actually talk to one another. Let's get to know one another. And if it's someone who we don't know in our neighborhood, let's be like, hey, I don't know you. What you here for?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And
that's right.
And that's what we're trying to do. We're just trying to raise awareness about the case and put it nationwide, and then try to connect other cases to it and build a movement from that. And it actually is. It's very disproportionate in the United States,
uh-huh.
and also in Hillsborough County, because how can 13.9% be missing, but yet we're only 14%. Of this nation. Like, something is terribly wrong with that. You know what I'm saying?
That's
like,
right.
Maybe the police aren't investigating because they're minority children. And that speaks to a lot of inequality socially, and maybe it goes to financially as well. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
well, I'll tell you about the police system. The reason why, half of the reason why, and like I told Brother Kim, I'm willing to bet my right arm, 50% of it is because they are directly involved themselves. And I'll say that anywhere, in front of anybody, at any time, and you can repeat it any way you want to. I actually believe that all of these children that are coming up missing, especially those involved in sex trafficking, that law enforcement is actually very much involved in that process because of the lack of effort that is put forward in finding the children. You don't have to search for somebody when you know where they are.
Yeah.
And you don't have to search for somebody when you're part of the conspiracy of why they're missing.
Come on.
And we have to hold these people accountable. You know, we have to, when white children come amiss and says, they'll say, you know, we want the patrols beefed up in our communities, you know, and they'll pay the homeowners association or whoever they got to pay. They'll go down to city hall, you know, they have a meeting, they raise hell, and within a few moments, they get something done. We don't do that. However, people are acting as though, I'm saying acting as though they're naive to the capability of the police, and they're acting like they're naive to conspiracies, especially against black and brown children. We cannot be a naive people.
Yes, I totally agree with you.
And we have to beef up the patrols in our communities. It's us. Don't call the police. Don't call them because they're going to disregard it anyway. They're going to take a false report. It's going to go on somebody's desk, and then in 2 weeks it's going to be missing. They ain't going to be able to find it. She's not going to be in the system. We have to do that. And they'll tell you when a child come up missing that you have to wait 24 hours if they're a certain age or whatever. We should have people and organizations in place that when you pick up the phone and say, hey, my child, 10 years old, 12 years old, 16 years old is missing, you should be able to have 30, 40, 50 boots on the ground looking within the hour.
Sis. That's right.
You're absolutely right.
That's how we need to move as a people.
Yes, we do. I totally agree with you, sister. However, like, the one issue that we're concerned about right now is the person that they've arrested and accused for being involved in the murder. She was the child. She was the family friend. And they were saying police, the reports are saying that, you know, she gave false information. And we're thinking, you know, she's a black woman. She's being interrogated by the police. Maybe she mixed up a couple of facts because she was nervous. And we're not trying to say that she is the murderer. And we're just asking Hillsborough County Police Department or Tampa PD to do a thorough and accurate investigation, because sometimes they pin these murders on the wrong people. And then we're stuck in a whole different cycle. And it's like, who's really to blame? Because they're like, oh, well, she waited 5 hours. But it's like, maybe she didn't know what time to report the incident at. Because as you said before, sometimes they're saying, oh, well, it takes 24 hours. So maybe she was thinking, you know, maybe she's of the age where we have to wait 24 hours. You know, it's like, we really don't know the situation of what was going on. But to immediately jump to her because she was the last person that saw the child, those report clearly states that she was in the shower. And as you said before, mm-hmm. you know, we do have our children going to these doors and open up these doors for people who knock on the door, you know. So it's like we really don't know who to blame, but please do a thorough and accurate investigation before we blame this innocent woman or before we blame this woman and she may be innocent.
Yes, ma'am, absolutely. And you know, and the whole thing about it is just bring some actual facts. Because
yeah.
when you go to court, you have to be able to prove it beyond the shadow of a doubt. And if we don't stand behind one another, stand with one another when we're going through these court proceedings, and, you know, those of us who are very abreast of the law, you know, we need to make sure that our people are being treated fairly because if you know, my father was a police officer for over 50 years.
Oh, wow.
And my father told me, he said, if there is no case, you can make a case.
Hmm.
And that is still prevalent today. They can make a case. They can get, and you know, the trick nowadays, the biggest trick in the mm-hmm. world nowadays is DNA. That's the biggest trick I've ever seen before in my life. Have you ever seen on these crime shows where they say, we need a sample of your DNA to compare to this crime scene?
Mm-hmm.
Well, after your DNA is taken, what happens to it? What happens mm-hmm. with it? They could take enough of your DNA to match it to 100 crime scenes. And you'll be convicted on every last one of them. So, you know, we want to trust the judicial process. But history shows us that when it comes to us, we cannot trust the judicial process.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely right.
And so we will take, you know, they will take the easy way out. And say, okay, well, this DNA was found on her shirt, on her shoe. You know, we had this fiber match this fiber. And, you know, if you didn't give it, you have submitted your DNA. So now what I tell all of my juvenile clients is that you don't submit DNA to anybody. You until they identify a probable cause. Don't just give your DNA to anybody just because mm-hmm. they say, well, we want your DNA. Hell no. You tell me why you want it.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to give you a reason why they want it. They can't just ask you for your DNA. But a lot of people
That's right.
don't know that they don't have to submit to that. And
yeah,
if they
right.
go through the process of getting a warrant for your DNA, then the judge is going to request or insist that they have probable cause for him to issue that warrant.
Mm-hmm.
That's the law.
That's the Bible documented. That's right.
So I tell my brothers and sisters, please don't fall for the okey-doke. Because once they take your hair, once they take your saliva, once they take your semen, your blood, whatever it is, you have just made yourself susceptible to a crime.
Mm-hmm.
So do not do that. And know the law, especially in your state, in your jurisdiction. Know the law. But nationwide, you do not have to surrender DNA unless it is court ordered. And I hope I've been very clear on that.
Yes, ma'am.
So, okay, this has been an emotional show, but before we go, you know, I want to offer some tips, and Sister Krista, I'll be calling you. I want to offer some tips to families and children right quick. You know, the first and most important thing is know where your children are. at all times. They are your children. They're not adults. You need to know where they are every second, every minute, and every hour of every day.
That's right.
That's the first thing. Like Brother Avery said, know their friends and know their friends' parents. Know where their friends live. Know their phone numbers. All of you parents who don't have time for social media, I bet your children do. You better get your Facebook account because your children got one. Better
That's
get
right.
your Instagram account. Your children got one. You better get your Twitter. Your children got one. And see who they're interacting with. And monitor computer activity because the computer will tell a predator where your child is located.
Yes, it will.
And then you can use these cell phones and you can hit Google Earth and they will actually give you a virtual picture of the house, the street,
That's right.
and everything.
That's right. That's
yes,
right.
right.
Just at the push of a button, monitor your children's activity. And I'm sorry, children under 18 don't need no Facebook page.
Come on, sis.
They need to have their head in a book somewhere. They don't need a Facebook page. The cell phone, I understand, because sometimes things happen. They need to have access to call you or call 911. I understand that, but they don't need all these gadgets. Access to the Internet, access to this, all these different apps on their phone. No, you get them a prepaid phone with the only thing they can do is call mama on this phone. Because you're giving them too much exposure. And too much exposure will get your children dead. The other thing I want to encourage everybody to do, it only takes a few minutes. You don't have to go nowhere to do it. Put your zip code in and look up how many sex offenders live in your community. Register sex offenders under 770, whatever your zip code is. You have a right to know that information. And you have a right to ride by that house. You have a right to keep a poster of all these sex offenders. You have a right to show them to your children and say, hey, if you see this guy, do not interact with him under any circumstances and come and get me or tell me or your father right away. You need to teach your children that.
That's right.
The other thing is get your community organized, especially in places like Florida when this is going on, in places like East St. Louis and St. Louis and L.A. and Las Vegas. Get your communities organized. Get to know your neighbors and say, hey, I'm Miss Muhammad. You know, these are my children. You know, sister, what's your name? You know, these are your children. Let's look out for one another. Let's be
That's
neighborly.
Right.
Let's be brotherly and sisterly. Because if you remember back in the 60s and 70s when I grew up, very seldom did a child come up missing.
Come on, sis.
That was unheard of in the black neighborhood, especially in Compton. What? And people was not even worried about the police looking for them. You know who looking for you? The FOI.
That's right. That's
and
right.
And so that was unheard of. You know, before that was the Bloods and the Crips and the Rolling 60s and all of those guys, it was the FOI was the most revered people in Compton, California. And that's the kind of vigilance we have today in our community. The other thing I wanted to share was to get your organizations in your community organized as well. You know, your churches, whether they're a Catholic church, a Baptist church, whatever it is, let that be a go-to place for your children. for an emergency. Because if something happens, if your child can't get in the house, or if someone's chasing your child, or your child feels uncomfortable or whatever, you know, identify those agencies and let them know that you want them to be involved. And that, hey, I need this to be a safe haven for not just my child, but for the children. Let them run into the communities. I don't care if it's a hospital. You know, let them have a designated place where they can go to and be safe, where they can put their hands on a phone or on a police officer or something if somebody is after these children. Don't let these organizations sitting up in your neighborhood sapping up resources and you not get them involved and hold them accountable to have some responsibility in the neighborhood. Like if you got a Kingdom Hall and they say, oh, well, you're not a Jehovah's Witness, we don't deal with you, well, then you need to raise the hell up out of here because I need a safe haven for my children in the event something happens. You have a right to demand certain things in your community, and number one is safety and security. The other thing that is kind of touchy, and I know Brother Avery touched on it a little bit, is everybody dreads that day when they have to have deep conversation with their children about the birds and the bees. But this ain't about no birds and no bees. This is about life. And unfortunate as it is, you have to teach your children about incest. And you have to teach your children about sexual molestation and family members. You know, like we used to get those old lessons like, you know,
Amen.
You don't sit on your uncle's lap, you know, those kind of lessons. And you might not understood what was going on or why I can't sit on Uncle Buster's lap, but there was a reason for it, and we don't want to talk to our children about that. We don't want to talk to our children about the penis and the vagina. We don't want to talk to them about that. But who would you rather them have that conversation with?
That's
you
right.
You are the predator.
That's right.
They need to have that conversation with you so that you can teach them out of love, so you can teach them correctly. Because if you don't, somebody else is going to do it, and they're going to do it wrong. Because that's how sexual molestation happens. Because somebody starts being touched, and nobody was ever told that this was inappropriate, this was wrong, and if
that's
somebody
right.
touched you, you tell
you
somebody. Watch. That's how sexual molestation begins. And it's a perpetual cycle, and it goes on and on and on, and sometimes it'd be years, and you never know. And ask your children questions. Ask them, did your teacher touch you inappropriately today? Did your coach touch you? Did anybody say something to you inappropriately? You know, is there anybody that you feel uncomfortable around, and why do you feel uncomfortable around them? Ask them. You got to have these conversations. You know, especially when you get a small child. If you got a small child and they don't want to go to daycare and they don't want to go to school, it's something going on. It might not be that, but something is going on. You need to know. And the other thing I wanted to say, don't want to offend nobody. I'm going to call it the way I see it. Stop dressing
Amen.
Your daughters like little whores. I don't care
Amen,
if
Amen.
You got to go to a sewing class. I don't
Amen.
Care if you have to go back to the styles of Africa and just buy yards of material and cover them up. I see little girls every day walking down the street in skinny jeans that are extremely tight. I'm surprised that they even have any circulation. You know, real tight skin shirts, they're 11, they're 12 years old. You know they're eating all this stuff, so their hormones is out of control. They're looking like grown women. They 10, 11 years old, and you think it's cute, and then you polish their nails, and you give them lip gloss, and you give them a little eyeshadow, and you think it's cute. But you stop being a parent and you become a pimp because you send her out there looking like a whore. And that's exactly what she's going to be treated like. And you think it's cute,
Amen.
But it's not.
Amen.
What make you laugh today will make you cry tomorrow. Stop doing that to your children. Let them be children. I know what it is to be a girl that want to be fast and want to get out there and want to be seen and want the attention of a boy, but you better damn well tell her the consequences for that desire. And once you tell her the consequences of that desire, she'll change her mind. Go online, show her a few dead bodies. She'll change her mind.
That's right.
Sit her down and let her look at Stranger Danger or Predators Beware, whatever that program is to catch a predator. Sit her down, let her look at that. And let her look at these serial killers and let her listen to what they say they did to women and little girls. That'll change her mind. And the last thing I want to say is that, you know, first of all, to everybody, men, women, boys, girls, be watchful.
Mm-hmm.
Be watchful of law enforcement. Be watchful of people in authority. Be watchful everywhere. Everywhere. It's a shame that it's come to this, that we can't trust anybody, but your children are the only evidence that you will ever have that you were here. And they're the only evidence that you will go on. So don't let nobody take that away from you. Take the time and parent. You're going to always have bills. You're going to always have things that need to be done. But your child, like you, only has one life. And it only takes a few seconds for that child to be gone, unheard from again. It only takes a few seconds for somebody to take his or her life. And this is just as much for boys as it is for girls. Because right now, the predators are making no distinction. Talk to your children. And share this information with someone else. I talked to Minister Tony. We're going to be doing a big campaign. We're going to do a big show next Friday. I think it, no, two Fridays from now, Brother James, on his show on Friday night. We're gathering all of the ministers of the Nation of Islam. I'm going to also ask some pastors to come out, some law enforcement to come out, some city councils
That's right.
to come out. I don't know how we're going to manage this call, but we're going to manage this call.
We'll get it done,
Jane.
We'll get it
yes,
done with the help
kind
of Allah.
Way.
That's right.
Yes, and we're going to have, it may be a 3 or 4 hour show, but we're going to get it done. We have to bring awareness to this because if we don't, people,
right.
if we don't, who will? Who cares about the black children?
That's
who cares
right.
about the brown
right.
children? And the Native Americans. The Native American children are also affected by this. Don't get it twisted. White children are affected by this. And so this is the one entity that we can come together under and say, hey, black, brown, red, whatever, we all want to protect our children because there's a force out here bigger than black and white. That's taking our babies, and they're not making a difference with color. Trust and believe me, little white girls come up missing every day. And when I say every day, I mean every day. So we have to be vigilant. We have to be prayerful. We always have to be on our post. We are over time. Brother Avery, thank you.
Sister Aziza, excuse me,
yes.
Queen. For interrupting, and I know we're over time. I'm getting these texts from Brother Jihad, who was on. He had a member of Felice's family on the line with him on a three-way. He was asking if I could just let you know, I sent you a text, but you probably were too busy to read it. So he asked me if I could interject verbally on the show and let you know if it's at all possible. You could get
him in. Absolutely, Brother Jihad, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, we can hear you.
I have Sister Michelle on. I don't know if she's still with us. I know she was in the trenches, right, with the family and with other communities in that part of the area. I don't know if she's still with us. This Sister Michelle. Sister Michelle, are you still with us?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Yes, this is Sister Michelle. This is Sister Aziza, Nation Building Blog Talk. But, you know, go ahead, Sister Aziza. You know, you can inquire.
Yes, Sister Michelle, introduce yourself to us and tell us what's going on.
Well, I'm Sister Michelle Williams down in Tampa, Florida, and also the Chief of Staff of the New Black Panther Party, the Southern Regional Chapter. Just to update the community on the death of this young angel, this young queen, which lost her life because of foolishness. She was allegedly taken by a family friend, an entrusted family friend. This is what the news media reported to us, okay? After speaking with the police chief and finding out further information, the mother did not even know the last name of the young lady who took her daughter.
Wow.
So, you know, this story, you know, we have some dirty substances in the milk that's not clean.
Yes, ma'am.
Sister, I'm telling you, everything that I was able to listen to before you all brought me on, you were driving the screw through the 2x4, and you know where we have to be a more accountable race. See,
that's
we've
right.
gotten too cozy with these white folks. When I say we've become too cozy with these white folks, we want to be like the masters. We want to talk like the masters. We have inducted ourselves to even take on their behavior of molesting and raping our own children now.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, sis.
You know, the day of atonement is here. You know, I was privileged and honored to sit on the stage with the Honorable Louis Farrakhan when he came to Tampa, Florida, you know, and
yeah.
I listened to this minister speak the truth. I listened to this minister speak the truth, and I also watched alleged black leaders in the city of Tampa turn their backs on him soon as he left. They praised his brother in his face, and soon as he left, they turned their backs on him to these crackers. You know, we have no accountability anymore in our race. And we held an emergency community meeting where the Nation of Islam, I thank the Tampa chapter, because these brothers, they on point every time we doing something in the community. They are visible. They are extremely visible in the community when issues arise against our black community. You know, this young, beautiful black angel lost her life. Not only did she lose her life, they discarded her clothes and threw her in the ocean water as if she was shark bait. Oh, Lord. You know, and but the mother and the young lady that who was arrested last night, and the only reason why they arrested her because she gave false information to the police department, which is nothing but a third-degree misdemeanor. You know what I'm saying? If they can't make anything stick, she'll walk away with 3 to 6 months probation. But yet, a young black life has been taken. And see, you know, at the discretionary call of the Temple Terrace Police Department, that police chief, according to FDLE, the Florida Department of Law Enforcement Office, agency, they said that he could have made that call himself and put out that Amber Alert, and it would have went across the nation that this child was abducted. So we lost very valuable search hours because, see, these white folks, they understand that, you know, they understand that because they see us fighting and feuding and killing one another in the streets, they're saying to themselves, oh, they don't even value their own lives. So why should we value their lives?
Come on, that's right, Cheryl.
And
right.
we have
that's
to
right.
stop calling them. That's why we got the FRI. That's why we got BYC. We don't have to
that's
call
right.
them and depend on them to search for our children. We need to search for our children ourselves. We got the Peacekeepers. We have all kinds of black organizations. We got the Black Panther Party. What the hell we need them for? Because, shit, 90% of the time, they probably involve themselves. Man, this is craziness. This
yes,
is craziness. Oh, Allah.
Power
so,
to the
Sister
people.
Michelle, mm-hmm. how did she, did they say, mm-hmm. I know they did an autopsy this morning. Did they give an official cause of death?
No, they haven't. They haven't. They haven't not released that part yet. I was trying to pull it from the chief after I spoke with him. But you know, it is a homicide. We do know that she was murdered before she was dumped in the ocean.
Yeah.
We do know that they did tell us that much, that she was murdered. The autopsy revealed that she was killed before she was discarded in the ocean. But how they're saying that she died, she didn't even know, they won't even tell us that. But what I find funny is when I was talking with the police chief is how I was asking him questions. Well, have you checked the cell phone records and text message history of the young lady who took the little girl from her, the presence of her mom, alleging that,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying, she told the police chief that she was the godmother. But you know what I'm saying, she couldn't even get her story together. This young lady could not even get her story together. And you can tell she's covering for somebody. Now, I know through guilt and shame, the mother is probably ashamed because, you know, she thinking she's looking bad in the media. You let your child go with somebody who you don't even know what the girl name is. And see, we've gotten so used to, as we said in the meeting this evening, we've gotten so used to calling everybody in the community by their nickname. Hey, Pookie, come here. Nene, what you
mm-hmm.
doing? What you doing? You know, we can't get away with it because, see, I want to know who's living next to me just like this sister say. You know, I have a program here that I started in 2008. It's called TPAP, the Public Against Predators. Every time a sex offender moves in my neighborhood, even in a 20-mile radius, oh, I'm on Facebook, I'm on Twitter, I'm on text messages, I'm in emails, I'm at schools, I'm at daycares. See, because I was raped and molested by a cracker at 9 years old and left for dead and survived.
Yes, ma'am.
So we have
yes,
to,
ma'am.
We have to, just like the sister say, the black race, we need to put ourselves into our own bubble. We need to police ourselves. We need to put our own selves, you know what I'm saying, basically in a timeline. Oh, if you know that Johnny May down the road now did something, we need to, the community need to go and approach her and say, Johnny May, why you did that? If you know Mr. Bill now did something, Mr. Bill, why you did this? See, we don't
yes,
have
ma'am.
Any accountability anymore in the black race.
Come on, sis.
We have no accountability.
Yes,
none
ma'am.
Whatsoever. And, you know, and like I say, I'm just a worker bee. I'm just a worker bee. All I want to do is progressively move the black race forward. And let me tell you something. I'm like Harriet Tubman. I could have freed more only if they would have known they were slaves. Because Willie Lynch, when that cracker died, he left his nieces and nephews and cousins and distant cousins and his great uncles and great aunties. So
come
Willie
on,
Lynch didn't go nowhere.
Don't stop now.
And now they don't even got white faces no more. They got black skin with white hearts.
Come on,
Lynch talk.
Woo! Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Wow.
So whatever you all need me to do, whatever effort you all are doing, just make sure that you please include this activist. Because wherever we need a networking system put in place because I'm like this. See, the black race, we need our own database. Because, see, the
mm-hmm.
FBI is not going to tell you all how many real racial profiling cases that they have open against the police harassment. They're not going to tell you all how many unsolved black deaths that they really are. Because, see, they're trying to keep their numbers low so they can keep getting this money from the federal government. They're not going to tell and reveal all these hidden secrets. You know, we got to dig and we got to probe and we got to pry. And we, you know what I'm saying? We have to do all of this stuff when we have elected black officials who mean nothing for them. I told them, I said, you know what? Let me tell you something, nigga. Go put on your top hat and paint your face white because you have no business in front of me. Anybody walking in front of me who don't have a progressive mind to move the black race forward, I'm slaying them. We need to get rid of snitches and we need to address them openly in the community.
Come on, sir.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Well, Sister Michelle, I want to have you and Sister Crystal back and get I'll get your information from Brother Jihad, and we'll talk sometime tomorrow, me, you, and Sister Crystal, about moving forward on this because there are a lot of people that we're pulling in to this, and we have to get something done. It's time to stop talking about it. We need to have enough conversations to organize, and then we need to do diligence because nobody else is going to. And I tell you what, my heart is just broken. You know, I knew that she was murdered, but I just think it just hit me that she was so young. And then when Sister Michelle said that she was thrown in the water as shark bait, it's so ironic because I shared with Brother Jihad earlier today that there's a place in the Keys where a lot of people have been found in the stomachs of these alligators or crocodiles in that area, and a lot of them are suspected as being missing children and missing adult men and women, and it just speaks to the lack of humanity that we have. And this baby was only 9 years old.
9 years old.
She was 9 years old. And she hadn't been here long enough to do anything to anybody to deserve this. And we just can't bury our children.
That's right.
So, Sister Michelle, thank you so much for coming on and sharing with us. And, of course, Brother Jihad, thank you for hooking us up with Sister Michelle. Sister Michelle, I'll get your information. We will talk. We're about 32 minutes over time, so I'm going to have to close out the broadcast. But I thank all of you, Student Minister Tony, Student Minister James, Brother Efron. I love you much, black man. Keep on doing what you're doing in New York. And Brother Kim in Las Vegas, we got some work to do, dear brother.
Right.
So all of you on the phones listening and those of you staying with us in the chat room, thank you so much. And may Allah continue to bless us all. Hug your babies tonight. You know,
that's right.
Tell them that you love them. Don't take your loved ones for granted. So if you got somebody that you love, make sure that you tell them. And I love you all. And I leave you as I came before you in our nation's greeted words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. One nation, one love. Good night.
Walaikum salam, queen.